Welcome back, everybody. It's time for another Sports Hub Patriots podcast, still untitled. As the season rolls on, we're in week three. I am sleep deprived, so pardon me if I sound like I'm going insane. I sort of am. My whole sleep clock has been messed up from that night game and working well into the night. And last night I watched this movie, The Lighthouse, with Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson. It's about two lighthouse keepers that could slowly lose their minds as they get stuck on this island. So, Alex, if you don't mind me, I might be a little off the wall in this one.
No, that's fine. I mean, it's the week after a primetime game. I think we're all kind of catching up on sleep. That's sort of how these weeks go.
I look very similar to Bill today in the press conference. Bill's like, go look, guys.
Yeah, your shirt looks like it's in one piece, so I'll give you that.
Guys, I haven't slept in 40 hours for just getting ready for the Raiders here. So, yeah, I mean, coming off an amazing game, and a game I think that you guys – we had sort of a similar take afterward where we felt a lot more optimistic for the season, where it's like, okay, they might have – they might not have had enough on offense tonight, but they might later in the season. I know that some of the conversation turned towards they need more weapons, and that's sort of how I felt with, 5 minutes left in the game. But then they go on those two drives at the end, and they almost pull it off at the very end. So, I mean, how do you assess the offense now that you've had a couple days to think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it looked good. And you talk about, you know, will it be enough? Will they have enough down the road? And I wrote after week one that there are some similarities between this team and the team in 2001. And if you want to continue that analogy, that I think it's week eight game against the Rams they had,
yep,
where they lost to the Rams. I mean, similar fashion, you know, they were down early. They came back. They just ran out of time at the end of the game. And everybody on that team who's talked about that game since has said that that was kind of the moment where they woke up and realized we can do this. We can beat the elite teams. We didn't know what it took. It took losing to one of those teams to do it. So I look at that Seahawks game in a similar fashion. Yeah, I think it's certainly encouraging. I definitely felt like an a-hole a bit after because I was writing more about negatives than positives. But, you know, just kind of dissecting how that ending came to be, I thought was an interesting story. But you know, I'm not, and I've said this a number of times since the game, I'm not a big emotional wins guy. I really don't believe in that. You know, it's not like they're going to look at emotional wins as a tiebreaker when you're trying to get into the playoffs or anything. They don't show up in the standings. But if there ever was an emotional win, if there was ever a game you walk away from and say, you know what, we lost, but I really feel good right now, that was it. That was the emotional win of all emotional
wins. Yeah, it was a moral victory for fans. I mean, moral I wouldn't victory, expect yeah, the team. I would not expect the team to say, if the team came out and said, well, you know, it's a moral victory, then that I wouldn't feel great about that. You're not an a-hole for pointing out negatives after they actually lost a game. You'd be an a-hole if they won by 40 and then you're still pointing out negatives. You know, that's
I'm supposed to be the Bobo fanboy, so I felt a little out of pocket there. But
Bobo fanboy radio, here we go. Sunshine and rainbows all the time.
I mean, that's been me to an extent, certainly. But no, it was that's as good of a football game as you're going to get. You know, I watch games like that, and I almost wish it wasn't a Patriots game because just the nature of what I do, what we do, you watch the game a little bit differently. You're kind of approaching it a little bit differently. That's the kind of game where I really wish I could just sat back, leaning back on the couch, feet on the table, beer in hand, full of chips, and just witness it.
Yeah,
you know, it's not that I'm taking for granted covering the games. I'm very grateful. But that was, you know, just as a football game, as an athletic contest, as good as you're going to get.
Yeah, I miss the days of just hanging out with, my closest football buddies. And we're all drinking and eating the nachos and just waiting it out and jumping out of our chairs and slapping five when they score and all that stuff. I mean, that's as I've been a Patriots fan for a long time. So that's how it's been for me up until the last few years where I've had to, you know, button things up, no chairing in the press box. So no, that's unprofessional. I get it. Try to be honest. I'll try to be objective and you know, all that stuff, I guess. But no, I choose to be optimistic about the season because it's just sort of what I was saying. I think they're going to be better on offense, and it's not because Cam Newton is better than Tom Brady, even though overall I think probably has played better if you just look at them individually. But just the fact that they're all pulling in the same direction, and Cam believes he's on the same page with Bill, and he's lifting up the receivers, and he's not like throwing them under the bus or you know just not throwing them. Tom gave him a little toss under the bus, just a little nudge under the bus last year, I suppose. And but Cam's doing the opposite And he's totally motivated to get that next contract and all that. And I think that's why they look better on offense so far than they did the last couple of years. But isn't it crazy that they were already talking contract? I feel like that's a little nuts. I don't want to go in that direction. I don't think a long-term deal is a good idea. If they could agree to a one or two, like a two-year extension or something, and if he wants to, you know, give it a three-year window with Bill and, you know, give him a nice big old pay bump for a couple of years, I could see that.
Right.
He's not going to get the five-year, $150 million, whatever, here.
This is going to be the annoying storyline of this season. Last year, it is, will Brady stay, will he go? And we were discussing it all way before we needed to, right? People can't wait to get to the offseason. Every year, you play like two games, then everybody just wants to get to the offseason. That's going to be the storyline this year. They're not going to give him 90 over three simply because they can franchise tag him, right? Which they couldn't do with Brady last year. And I think some Patriots fans forgot the franchise tag exists for a quarterback. Yeah. But they're not going to give him $30, $35 million, which if he keeps playing like this, which first of all, it's two games, okay? He could come out and throw 10 picks in the next 5 weeks. It's Cam Newton. It's realistic. And this conversation completely changes, which is one of the reasons it's too early to have it. But if you have to start discussing it, no, he's not signing for 2 years, $70 million. The Patriots won't offer him that contract. If they feel like he's that, if it's that much worth to them to keep him, they'll franchise tag him for 20. They'll save $15 million. They're not going to be stupid about it. Just because, you know, Cam Newton's a shiny new toy and, oh, look how well him and Bill get along and, oh, he's having fun. He's dancing on the practice field. They're not going to throw financial responsibility out the window. Mm. That's a cornerstone of what they've been doing for the last 20 years. I think if Cam stays for one more year, and again, you have a guy who's 31 years old, who's often banged up, you know, I'm not ruling out another year. I would, you know, if he keeps playing this way, gun to my head, if he's back another year, it's absolutely on a franchise tag. I don't think it's a negotiated contract. And then maybe if he has a second good year after that, they look at it. But at that point, he's 33. You don't know what the league's cap situation is. I mean, you're talking about 2 years from now. Half the team's contracts are going to expire between now and then. We don't know how COVID's going to play out. We don't know what the drafts are going to look like. Like, so much is different at that point. So to talk about Cam Newton finishing his career in a Patriots uniform at this point, I think is outlandish. If you want to talk about
finishing his career, no. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, no, that's what
three years
for this guy right now, a 3 or 4 year deal for this guy right now, like people are talking about, I think that's finishing his career. He'll be 35. And not every quarterback's Tom Brady. Not every quarterback's going to play till they're 40. If you want to talk about a franchise tag for next year, that's realistic. I'll entertain that conversation because he has played exceptionally well, and it's interesting to talk about. Don't go throwing out 90 over 3, 120 over 5, whatever that nonsense is. No. If you want to look to 2021, fine. Anything beyond that, it is incredibly too early.
This is a Felger thing to say, so I apologize. But if they extend Cam Newton long-term, that means Jarrett Stidham absolutely sucks, Maz. And I feel like that's the – well, I mean, he would take the angle that, like, oh, this is a horrible deal, horrible idea to do this. But, I mean, I guess we cross that bridge when they get to it if they sign to that deal. But, I mean, the long-term is going to be a question after the season if it's just going to be a one-year thing. I really don't know about Stidham. I don't know about Stidham. I think Stidham could maybe be as good as Brian Hoyer was as his peak, which was okay. He had, like, a couple decent seasons. Like, maybe Stidham could be that.
Brian Hoyer is the only quarterback in the last 20 years to have an over 500 record as a starter for the Browns, for what that's worth.
Yeah, but I think, that 1 year for the Browns when he was good and for the Texans.
I think this decision is independent of Stidham because Cam's clearly better. You're not, like, moving on from Cam because you think Stidham's are the guy. You're either keeping Cam or you're finding the next guy, and Stidham's a part of that conversation, but – it's not Cam or Stidham. It's Cam or the field. It's Cam or Stidham and free agents and draft picks and trades and Dak and Justin Fields and Trey Lance and all those guys. So that's, you know, it's not me saying don't sign Cam long term. That doesn't mean I'm saying Stidham's the guy. It just means I'm saying he's a 32-year-old or a 31-year-old with a history of injuries who has played two very good games. I'm not ready to give him the bag. I'm very impressed. No. I'm not ready to give him the bag.
No, I'm impressed, and I think he's going to earn whatever contract he gets. I'd just rather someone else go down that road. Yep. What was I just going to – I lost my train of thought. But, if they have to go to the future at quarterback, I mean, they're obviously not getting Trevor Lawrence, but is he the only quarterback in next year's draft? You know more about the college guys than I do. Is there other potential starters, you think, in the first two or three rounds?
Yeah, there's a couple guys. Justin Fields from Ohio State, he's still probably going to be a bit out of their range. None of these Ohio State guys have really turned out to be anything. We still need to see on Haskins, but I feel like for the last 10 years, Ohio State's had, you know, a top 10 pick quarterback that everybody hypes up, and then the guy becomes nothing. So, you know, Trey Lance at a North Dakota State is an interesting one, but after seeing what's happened with Carson Wentz, I'd be hesitant there, especially because he'll only play one game this year, so you don't get a ton of evaluation on him. My sleeper is Kyle Trask from Florida. He was a backup for 4 years in high school, managed to get his tape in front of coaches, got to Florida, was a backup for 2.5 years under Felipe Franks, who is ironically a Red Sox draft pick.
I love Felipe.
Yeah, Franks.
I don't know who that is.
He's not a bad – he's a decent college quarterback, but he was ahead of Trask, and then he tore up his knee or his ankle halfway through last season. Trask came in, looked really good, went toe-to-toe with Joe Burrow who's the kid from Georgia that everybody loved? I'm blanking on the name.
Jake Fromm.
Jake Fromm, right. Went toe-to-toe with Jake Fromm as well. So, you know, he's still a little rough around the edges. It's going to be a big year for him to see what he can do, but he's incredibly confident. He's got a big arm. He's sneaky. You know, he's not fast, but he's sneaky mobile.
Okay.
I'm not saying the Patriots should draft him yet. I need to see what he does this year. He reminds me a lot of Matt Castle, and some of it is people remember Castle never started in college, and he was behind Leinart and still got drafted by the Patriots. So I put a lot of stock into these guys who don't play and still manage to get recruited, because it means there's something there. They're doing something right off the field, which the Patriots love. So that's kind of my, you know, cute little sleeper pick for them is Kyle Trask. But
all right, I don't want to get too far into the future. Here. All right, I'm breaking my own commandment here. I don't like to worry about the future when we have a good present going on. We're good in the present. So for the present, Patriots.
About the future is the problem. So huh? The problem is the present is people talking about the future because Patriots fans
of course
want something in front of them that's fun. It has to be. Nope. Is Tom Brady going to stay? Is he going to go? Are we going to sign Cam Newton? What's our draft pick going to be next year? Yeah. Who are they going to draft the wide receiver? No, this team is fun.
Now it's what the hell are they going to do?
Right now, enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Now you are breaking up. I think your computer couldn't handle that. The fire. I think the computer couldn't handle the hot fire you were spitting just then.
Very possible.
I remember what I was going to say. Dak Prescott? I would like it. I think he would be a good fit here. I think Dak and Bill would get along nicely.
And every second Jerry Jones doesn't pay him, he's costing himself money. So
yeah, I don't know how great he is, but like, I feel like that would be a good fit. That would be a good match. You could win with him.
Schematically, he could do the things that they're doing now with Cam. And he's gotten as far as he has with a bad coach in Jason Garrett and a questionable coach in Mike McCarthy. Let's see what he can do with some real coaching. I think
but like culture-wise, I just feel like he's the right. He'd be the right kind of fit for this. Which right. We wondered if Cam Newton would be, but he looks like he's buying into the whole thing, which is great. But I would like it if they busted out the walls for Dak. But I guess that's not very realistic either. All right. I'm still breaking the commandment. Back to the present. This is why I meditate. I try to stay in the present moment. What about the receivers and the tight ends and the weapons at this point? Because I was saying after the game, it's like they didn't quite have enough to beat Seattle, but the fact that they came within 1 yard, one play of pulling that upset when they were down 12 in the fourth quarter told me a lot about the offense, I thought. And the fact that they turned Cam loose in the passing game and he fired it down the field with authority, especially over the middle of the field. This is one thing you've probably known this about Cam his whole career. I haven't been a Cam expert, but he's way more accurate firing it over the middle of the field than outside the numbers. So I feel like maybe if they had to make an upgrade, it would be at tight end or another slot receiver, or someone who can make catches over the middle like that. Because I don't think they can depend on Julian Edelman to come up with 8 catches and 179 yards and a 49-yard catch diving down the field every game. I think they're going to need more playmakers. Question is, can N'Keal Harry develop into that kind of player? Because he had a huge step forward, and maybe he's going to start making plays down the field. Damir Bird had his first good game as a Patriot. I don't know how dynamic he's going to be. I think maybe you'd be better off making an upgrade at that spot. But I don't know. Do you think maybe they could do the Patriots thing where they just get a little bit better every week, and by the end of the season they're humming on offense, and you know, Devin Asiasi's starting to contribute, and N'Keal Harry's making plays, and maybe they have enough on offense. What do you think? Do you think they need to make another big move, or what do you
No. think? I mean, if they really want to be Super Bowl contenders, yes, but they would need to make more than one. And you know, I'm not ruling them out of a title yet. It would be highly unlikely. We're not ruling them out of a title yet. And there's still so much we don't know. Those solutions may be in-house. Everybody's kind of looking at N'Keal Harry like he was last year, kind of just this lost rookie who was having trouble getting his footing. And look, it's fair. I get it. That's who he was. But he's given us, you know, outside of one fumble, two very impressive performances so far. So maybe he does play like that first-round wide receiver that they drafted him to be, in which case, you know, all of a sudden Allen Robinson suddenly becomes a bit more of a luxury than a need. Devin Asiasi had a great camp. I'm not sure why he's not getting on the field more. Ryan Izzo's been fine, and he's probably a better blocker, and I get if they want to run the ball, it makes sense to keep Izzo out there over Asiasi, but I wouldn't be surprised if – I think they're going to start bringing these rookies along one at a time, right? Michael Onwenu was the guy in week one. We saw Kyle Duggar last week really increase his snap count. I think these guys are going to kind of come along at different points in the season. I think Devin Asiasi is going to have his moment. He could be a factor in that. There's also just not a great tight end market out there right now. So, you don't make a move just to make a move. Everybody had a problem with Mohamed Sanu, and you had all these people saying, Bill should never trade for wide receiver again after Mohamed Sanu. Well, that's kind of what you're asking them to do here. They have a solid – they rarely run they're not running 11 personnel that much. They did more in week two than week one, but overall that number is down. That means you're not really looking at more than two receivers to contribute a significant amount of the time. Tight end's a different story, but again, there's nothing out there. But Allen Robinson – I don't want to come across him saying he's not an upgrade. Yes, Allen Robinson is an upgrade over N'Keal Harry. Absolutely. But is that upgrade worth – what it's going to cost you, especially right now before you really know what N'Keal Harry is going to give you. Because I'll tell you this, he's absolutely trending in the right direction. I would feel more comfortable – the trade deadline, I think, is week six or week eight. They always move back and forth. I think it's eight.
It's always the end of October, so right. I don't know if they pushed it back this year.
I would feel a lot more comfortable seeing 8 weeks of N'Keal Harry than rushing into a move with Allen Robinson, something like that. So, there's some depth things they could do. Honestly, the move I really want to see is just promote Devin Ross to the 53-man roster. I'm not so much worried about the top end. I like Edelman. I like what N'Keal Harry's doing. And, of course, you know, when he returns, and I hope he takes as much time as he needs, but they have a great passing back in James White. So they're set there. I'm more worried about the game where – you know, Edelman gets blasted going over the middle, gets a concussion. N'Keal Harry's hamstring tightens up. Jacoby's having a bad game. And then Matthew Slater's out there running legitimate wide receiver snaps. It was in my bold predictions.
That's not catastrophizing at all.
No, but they're not that far from, again, Matthew Slater having to go out there and play meaningful offensive snaps.
You're talking about crap luck. If all their receivers got injured, that would suck.
Matt, their top two wide receivers have been on the injury report every single time it's been released this season.
Again today,
half of their guys are out there playing hurt to begin with, and it's their top two. I don't think it's that much of a stretch. It's a long season and people get hurt. I'm more worried about the bottom end in that buffer, and just give me a little more comfort on the back end that they can absorb a blow to Edelman. They can absorb a blow to Harry if one of those guys has to miss a week or two here or there for maintenance. That's what I'm more worried about. I'm fine with the top end, but Julian Edelman's not going to play 16 games this year. I highly doubt it. I highly doubt N'Keal is going to play 16 games this year. Maybe they get 14 or 15, but let's say that one game they miss is the difference between winning the division and getting a wild card spot. I love Matt Slater. I don't need to see him out there running crossers. I'd rather see Devin Ross or, you know, somebody.
Right.
Hakeem Butler, I think, is still a free agent, or he's on the Jets practice squad or something. But that, I'm more worried about the bottom end of the wide receiver depth chart than the top.
It's good that they had the bye in week six, I believe. So it's right before they play the 49ers and then the Bills. So, I mean, if they're going to have injury concerns, you hope it's around that time and they have the extra time to get ready for – the real meat of the schedule, which I know Kansas City is a huge game coming up in a couple of weeks, but nobody really expects them to win that, even after how they played in Seattle. But I mean, I expect them to be competitive anyway. And yeah, I mean, this is a name that I brought, that Ty actually brought up, Ty Anderson, when we were talking about this. What do you think about Zach Ertz, Eagles tight end?
I just don't see them trading him. I'd love it. It would be great. And I think Bill would be willing to pay the price. It's going to be a steep price. I think it's one Bill would
first
be
round pick probably, right?
Yeah, at least. I think Doug Peterson's coaching for his job right now. I think Zach Ertz is playing for his job. Carson Wentz is playing for his job right now. I think there's a lot on the line. That thing's about to fall apart. I don't think anybody in that organization, everybody in that organization right now is trying to save their jobs. Getting rid of Zach Ertz is not how you save your job. So let's say the Eagles finish 6-10, right? Even 7-9, somewhere in that range, just under 500. That's one I go back to in March. And then I really look at that, because if the Eagles miss the playoffs, they're probably going to have a new head coach. They might have a new quarterback, probably going to have a new GM. Then you might be able to go and say, hey, here's a couple of picks as you guys look to rebuild, and we'll take back the guy who's on the end of his contract, who isn't going to make it through this rebuild. Anyway, that's a March trade. That's a very logical March trade. The Eagles are shooting themselves in the foot. That's a white flag if they move Zach Ertz at this point. You really have to blow them away.
That's true.
And at that point, it's not worth it.
That's true. So yeah, before we get out of here, just quickly about this Raiders game coming up. I don't know how worried you are. I watched them play the Saints. I mean, offensively, they might be able to give the Patriots defense some trouble. But the thing I have is just that they got beat by the Seahawks because Russell Wilson was playing out of his mind and dropping these right. deep passes in the bucket to the receivers. I just don't think you're going to get the same game out of Derek Carr. And I don't think the Raiders are going to be able to beat the Patriots just running it with Josh Jacobs all day. I think Bill might even want that. He might go back to playing man-to-man on every snap, taking away deep balls and doing what they can to take Darren Waller to game. And they'll let Josh Jacobs run all over them for 5 yards a carry. Like, I don't see it as a problem letting Jacobs get 20 carries for 100 yards. And then you do what you can do with Cam Newton. Cause I don't see a lot of playmakers on that Raiders defense. And I just don't see as much of a threat unless Darren Waller eats them alive like he did against the Saints. I mean, are you worried at all about the defense after the way they played against Seattle? Against the Raiders in particular?
A little bit. I mean, I was just surprised by the Raiders. The Saints were my Super Bowl pick. I had them as the best team in football on paper, so that game really surprised me. You know, the thing you risk with letting Josh Jacobs go off like that is it weaponizes the play action, and that's only going to make Darren Waller even more dangerous. Yeah. So, and the other thing is Jacobs is second in the league right now in yards after contact. So if you kind of let him go and let him build momentum, you're not necessarily going to keep him to those 5 yards of carry. I mean, you let him get into the second and third level, and he's going to bowl guys over and push guys off of him. So, no, I'm actually – in my key matchups will be out on Saturday. I have Josh Jacobs is one of my main guys I'm looking at, because I think to contain Waller, you have to contain him first. If you can take away the danger of play action, that makes your life a little easier. Defensively, though, Raiders have allowed the fourth most passing yards of any team in football. They got a really young corner in Travion Mullen, who I like, but is still very raw. Overall, their secondary is kind of in shambles. I think it could be a big game for N'Keal Harry. I think it could be a huge game for Cam Newton. I mean, I really think we get a shootout in this one. And that's where, you know, the only thing I get nervous is if Waller's on some kind of run right now, or Derek Carr has figured things out all of a sudden, then that could get dangerous. So they're not Seahawks. But I feel a lot different about this game. I felt a lot different waking up Tuesday than I did before I started watching the game on Monday. This is a real football team. Patriots will absolutely have their hands full. It's going to be a really interesting one.
I think so, too. Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, I see what you're saying with the idea that they need to key on just stopping Jacobs and making Derek Carr beat them. Make Derek Carr throw into that secondary, basically. Like, you sort of want to invite that rather than maybe inviting Josh Jacobs to run in the open field. I'm just not sure about the personnel as far as in the front seven. This is one of my concerns going into the season. And I don't know. They didn't look great up front against Seattle. And Oakland has a good offensive line. Las Vegas has a good offensive line.
I have a count of how many times I do that this week. It's
yeah, ding. Lot. Yeah, I'm going to keep doing that. They're still Oakland as far as I'm concerned.
But I'm still saying San Diego. I'm still saying St. Louis occasionally. I caught myself doing that the other week.
St. Louis Rams. Jesus. What is this, 2001?
Long live the greatest show on turf.
Hopefully it is. Yeah. That game back in 2001, by the way, yeah, that was the eye-opener, because that greatest show on turf was absolutely lighting everybody up, and the Patriots held them to only 24 points and lost by a touchdown. It's like, oh wow, someone actually slowed this offense down. That was impressive, you know. And then they took off from there. So I don't know. Maybe
greatest show on grass. That was the thing. They slowed the natural grass, slowed them down. I wish they still had natural grass in Fox.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, I wish that would have been fun. But yeah, it's gonna be more fun than I thought it was gonna be. And we'll be watching that and covering that for you at 985thesportshub.com. Any more quick closing thoughts before we get out of here?
I'll leave those all for the columns. 985thesportshub.com. You can get them there. It's a big market tease.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex. We'll talk to you again next week.